To stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we want it to maintain and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we going to put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back?
But if you want to have a go, I just want to let you know. Yeah, get off of my back and into my game. Get out of my way and out of my brain. Get out of my face. Keep your face shy.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Okay, I think it's working. I'm having to turn this up just a little bit. Having a little trouble getting going here tonight. Sorry about that. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. Running a little bit late. It's the 9th of October. And what a difference a day makes, huh? We've got the hurricane going here, Hurricane Nate, causing some problems. And NFL now is the least watched sport. Let's see, how did they word that? Let me find that here. Yeah, the least liked sport. The core fans of the NFL are down 31% over this last few weeks here. As it should be. I'd like to see them go broke. I think it's awesome. You know, this is a big deal. There's every talk show out there. I listened to Todd Starnes today, and everybody was on there with the exception of one person. And I won't mention anything about ethnicity here, but one person was talked about being oppressed and all of this kind of crap. And every other person on there was vehemently opposed to the kneeling, very much on our side, very much, you know, several veterans retired and a couple of active duty guys, and every one of them said, it's just a slap in my face. It was like spitting in my face. All these people that are kneeling for the anthem and everything. And I don't think these people still get it. It's not about First Amendment rights. It's not about what they can and can't. It's about respect. You know, when I go to, let's say I go to somebody else's church just out of curiosity. And they do something in that church that's different from what I do at mine. do I just stand there and make a spectacle out of myself as long as what they're doing is not sacrilegious and very much in opposition to what I believe in? I mean, it's, I guess there's a difference between, in football and a flag and church and God. I'm not sure. But I'm not going to, I'm going to do what they do out of respect for their, I'm not going to go stand in the corner and stand there and wait while they're doing whatever it is they're doing. Providing that it's not in complete opposition to what I believe in. And I guess you could say that maybe that's not a good example because evidently this is what they believe in. And but I don't know how to explain it. So anyway, hopefully maybe somebody gets my drift out there, what I'm trying to say. But anyway, overwhelmingly, everybody that I heard on the radio today thinks just like I do. They're just a whole lot, and put it into words a whole lot better than I do. Let's go look at the chat room here and see what all we got. Nan's joining us tonight. Good to see you. T-Bone, and Minnie, and Peanut Rider, and NM Glock. Let me check out here and see. Minnie. Mother Earth, I think Mother Earth signed out there a little bit. Got one anonymous in there. All right. Okay. I guess the big news here today, let's see if I can bring that up on my crystal ball. And I posted this on Facebook, and I got a lot of, oh, it's fake and all this stuff. And the site that I put up there is well known for fake news. However, what they were talking about here was real. It's just that the first site that I posted embellished it quite a bit and put some stuff on there that wasn't exactly according to Hoyle. But the story was true. And the story, excuse me for keep clearing my throat here, I don't know what's going on. But the story is that there's a guy named John Bielman, who was a key witness in the shooting in Las Vegas. And I won't even get into all the many conspiracy theories that's going on. I'm not saying they're wrong either, because I'm very much believing that something else went on there that, hang on. Okay. And I think there's a whole lot more to this story than what we're getting. You know, we're piecing a lot of things together this thing has really gotten out of control. Anyway, this key witness had been, the FBI searched his home, and the day after this happened, him and his severely disabled daughter, I think the daughter was 27 years old or something like that, according to reports, he killed her, took her out to the backyard, shot her in the back of the head with a shotgun, and then killed himself with the same shotgun. It sounds kind of like Arkansas to me. It sounds like something the Clintons would do. The the thing that made him a witness, let me see if I can find the part of it. Anyway, it was an electronic device, had something to do with recharging non-rechargeable batteries. And one of my followers on Facebook said, aha, you know, it's a following charging non-rechargeable batteries. Well, that's not such a big deal. Do a little search on it. It's not difficult to find a number of sources out there that allows you to charge rechargeable batteries. But this deal that he was doing was something that's used by special forces and CIA and whatnot. And so evidently this was something now the FBI is looking at, according to this story. I'm not telling you it's true. I'm just telling you that's what the story says. It actually came out first on a couple of alternate sites and then come out on USA Today. And the FBI is looking at the CIA for committing a, for perpetrating a false flag. Now, I don't know how far that's going to go. I don't know. It sounds a little odd to me. I know that there's been no love lost for the FBI and the CIA ever, nor the FBI and the ATF. They have never, ever gotten along. And if the FBI could do something to discredit the CIA, I think they would do it. And according to the story, that's kind of what they're looking at there. So it'll be interesting to see. Be very interesting to see. There's a number of stories that go along with this that have to do with the daughter and this guy. And so if anything comes of that, I'll let you know. But just so many things that are completely diametrically opposed to what we first heard in the initial reports after this shooting. And now they've got it, several stories out there. Now, this was something that I wondered about, but I didn't know enough about it to put together any type of a theory or anything. But what I'd wondered about was, you know, everybody's talking about all these guns going upstairs with this guy. You know, how did he get them up there and all that? Well, that's not a big deal. I mean, put them in duffel bags or suitcases and carry them up on the elevator. So what? I've had many, many, many guns in motels, and then motel never knew about her, hotel or whatever. But and everybody's looking at the obvious thing is, why did the guy need 23 guns up there? We only shot a couple of them. Well, according to a bunch of these stories that's coming out here, the guy was apparently some type of an arms dealer. Maybe not voluntarily. Maybe because he is so unremarkable and has nobody knows him, nobody's looking at him, has nothing going on in his life. The least suspected guy in the country, and why would he do something like this? Well, the story is that he's selling these guns to ISIS, and this was going to be the takedown for ISIS, and somehow they got a hold of it. And so they went in there and killed him before the shooting ever started, and then used the guns that he had up there and set them up and did all the shooting on people. I don't know if one word of that's true, but it kind of makes sense. You know, this guy going up there and carrying all that stuff up there, 32 flights and 32 stories, and doing all this, this is not what a man that just snapped would have done. And he had no reason to snap. He had, from what I can gather, the perfect life. He had nothing going on in his life, nothing bad, no scandals, no anything. Millionaire, girlfriend, you know, homes, more than one home. I don't know how many homes he's got. And so he just snapped and carries all these guns up to the 32nd floor and starts shooting. Lots of evidence that there was shooting going on, that there was other shooters involved and everything. So we'll probably never know the truth about this. So we'll keep watching it and see what happens. And anyway, let's get off of that. We beat that horse to death. Let me hit a couple other stories here. Then I've got some gun things I want to share with you here. We had a little class here 3 or 4 days ago. When was it? Thursday? I don't remember. Anyway, a couple days ago on this, and I thought I'd share it with you tonight. Maybe something that would be interesting for some of you guys that shoot scopes, but you know, unfamiliar with range finding and whatnot. So we'll play with that in a minute. So one of the big things here tonight, probably one of the biggest deals. Everybody remembers Bobby. Bobby Black used to own this network. He's the one that started Just Measures, named after Just Measures Coin Shop. A lot of you that are regular listeners knew Bobby or knew of Bobby very well. And I talked here a month or so ago about some trouble that he's having with kids and the child molester biological father. This guy is very, very bad news. I've had someone check on him here that's a little bit more local to me, and he's a very, very bad man. Not anybody that should be raising kids. So Bobby was trying to protect these kids, and this has turned into a very kind of like the Bundy trial. You know, they're sealing information and keeping him from presenting information and not informing him of hearings and all this kind of stuff. It's just gotten way out of control. And what has happened is they said, well, you know, we're not going to these deals. We're not going to allow them to take the kids. And there will be, you know, this will be Custer's last stand right here. This is where we're not going to do it. We're just not going to let them have them. And that's kind of where we were at when I talked to you last time about it. Well, there is right now officially warrants out for them. And it looks like right now that they will be going in for the kids at some point in the very near future. All Bobby has to do to delay or prevent this is get a lawyer. Bobby can't get a lawyer right now. He's been holed up here, haven't been able to leave his property for fear that there was warrants out for him and no way to check. Excuse me again. And so they've pretty much used up their money. They were a couple months behind on their mortgage. All kinds of hardships going on there. Well, they've found some people that have helped with some of those bills. However, he still can't get a lawyer. There is a GoFundMe account here, and I'd like for you guys that know Bobby and have, you know, listened to him out here, know what he stands for, know who he is, see if you can help us get some money together. They're about $2,000 short right now. And they don't have a lot of time to get this together. There is a GoFundMe account. I just put it in the chat room for you. You know, if you can only put $5 in there, put $5. If we get everybody that you know, I'm going to put this on my Facebook page later. If everybody put $5, we could probably make that $2,000. Some of you are in better shape than others. Maybe you can help a little more. But Bobby needs some help. There's going to be a very serious problem in Mount Vernon, Indiana, here before long if we don't get him a lawyer. So I have a good friend here that has helped with a lot of stuff, including money to get their mortgage and stuff caught up. They have to have a place to live. And we're trying to keep these kids out of this child molester's hands. For any amount of time. And all it's going to take right now is for him to retain a lawyer, and that'll shut everything down for the time being. And it may prevent very, very serious things taking place. So if you possibly can, send Bobby, there's this GoFundMe account, send him a little money, and try to, like I said, they need just under $2,000, right at $2,000 to get this lawyer. So go to this GoFundMe account. For those of you not on the chat room, you go to GoFundMe.com, and then it is save-our-family-farm-and-kids. Save our family, farm, and kids, with a dash between every word. Save dash our dash family dash farm dash and dash kids. It's a little long, drawn out thing there. I think they could have made it a little easier, but anyway, that's what it is. So if you're not on the chat room, write that down. And if you possibly can swing it, throw them a few bucks. And this is going to be, like I said, we haven't got long at all. Once they come in there with the handcuffs and the flashbangs and everything, it's going to be too late. There'll be no catching up later. This is going to have to be done. This $2,000 is going to have to be raised before the sheriff comes. And that's, I don't have a hard date and time for that yet, but they will be coming. So in order to keep this from getting way out of hand, then Bobby and myself would very much appreciate all the help that we can scrounge up for him. Bobby's a good man, his family, good folks, and those kids. And, you know, I told you about this a little while back, and I don't know if you remember or not, but his oldest son died here maybe a year ago. I told you about it on the air here a few months ago. And a kid, 16 years old, if I remember right, and he just tipped over dead. It was a blood clot or something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but died right there on the kitchen floor in Bobby's arms. So Bobby has had a lot going on here, and not to mention all the other financial problems due to some of this other stuff. He's lost the coin shop. Matter of fact, let me just read this to you off the GoFundMe page. Due to some issues beyond my control, I have lost my coin shop, personal side businesses, and now on the verge of losing my family farm and quite possibly my kids. If anyone can help, I promise every dime will be used to pay the mortgage, feed the kids, and pay the bills. We are a Christian family overwhelmed by the loss of our first son this year. Then my business, and now in the past 2 months, falling behind on the bills. If you can help, I would appreciate it. Once I get back on my feet, I promise to help my friends and neighbors again, as I have in the past. And he has in the past. And Bobby has been very generous by helping some of the people around there. He was generous in helping go all the way back to the Watchman radio network, which was before Just Measures. And Bobby was ridiculously generous with Doc, helping him. Of course, that all turned out. You know how that turned out, those of you that have been with me for a while. But nevertheless, that was not Bobby's fault. Bobby was extremely generous, tried to help a lot, more than I would have even remotely considered. But Bobby's not that way. Bobby tried hard, and then, of course, you know how it fell apart and everything that happened there. And so enough of that. If you can help, please dig deep. Give him a hand. We've got to get $2,000 together here very shortly. So I think with that we'll take a little break here. And I think I might have another thing or two to share with you, but mostly I want to talk about this gun-related stuff. I figured this would be a good time to do this. So, all right, let's see here. Let's just put that up. There we go. All right, I'll be back in a minute.
I'll be back.
Time our eyes meet, this feeling inside me is almost more than I can take. Baby, when you touch me, I can feel how much you love me, and it just blows me away. I've never been this close to anyone or anything. I can hear thoughts, I can see
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10-22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
This is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level, location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 20 miles about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. Okay, we're back. I've got a couple of things I want to share with you real quick here before we get on with this gun deal here. There's, let's see, which house should I do this? Let me check and see here. All right, let's go this way. Let me go over here. There's a site on the internet, and until I can verify this, get some, I'm not going to tell you the site yet. They're known for questionable news sometimes. However, they have been very, very good at providing good, documented, accurate stuff also. So I don't know about this. I'm just going to put it out there for you to think about, and if I find out more about it, I will find out more about it. But they're saying that there was a second shooter. Of course, everybody has said that. And they have nailed down the distance here. There was a detailed forensics acoustics analysis rooted in science and physics, and they've identified the range and distance of the second shooter. And there's a video here to go along with it. And he names three places that are where the distance is consistent with the distance of Mandalay Bay. And so that in itself is probably not earth-shaking right now. But let me give you something else. This might interest you. This is from a friend of mine that I have known since I was a kid, since I was probably 14, 15 years old. Known him a long time. And there's another guy here that I know of most of my life. Don't remember if I ever met him or not. But and I can't mention either one of these guys' names. But this other guy, his wife, is an ER nurse in Vegas. And they said that out of over 260 patients that she helped out of this deal, that all were shot from a very high angle. Now, that doesn't mean that the other 260-something weren't shot from ground level. It just means that there was at least 260 of them that had high-angle shots through them. And I take this... I've known, like I said, I've known this guy for almost 50 years. And he's been on the chat room before. You guys wouldn't remember him. I can't tell you who his name is, but or what his handle was or anything, but he was on here a while back, several times, actually. And I take this to be pretty serious and pretty reputable stuff here. So that in and of itself doesn't solve anything. It just kind of something else for you to think about. So, okay, let's change gears here. Let's do something we haven't done for a while. Let's talk about, we talk about guns, but usually in the context of how they were used in various shootings and how, you know, what was possible and not possible and likely and not likely and all of that. So let's just do a little kind of a educational deal here, and just for the heck of it. There's, you know, a lot of people put a lot of money into range finders, and there's nothing wrong with that. I, as long as everything is working right and you've got the batteries and all, everything to run it, that's fine. But, you know, I remember a while back I told you I was starting a class. It was a lot of fun. It was the dedicated rifleman class. And the dedicated rifleman was not meant to be a sniper by any remote stretch of the imagination, but it was just a step up from the average rifleman, the average soldier out there. We wanted to have at least one guy. You can't afford to have a school trained sniper with every squad and every platoon out there, but it is nice to have one or more guys that are a little more tuned up when you need a little more precision out there at moderate ranges. Something that the average guy with an AK or an AR probably a little above their pay grade. So, and the other idea here is for those of us that feel that someday there may be some serious hostilities in this country, and that some of us may be forced to participate in it, that we can't always just run down to Walmart or run down to Sportsman's Warehouse or Cabela's or wherever and get new stuff. When something breaks or wears out or gets lost or stolen, we're going to have to make do with what we have. And the idea behind this dedicated rifleman class, for my purposes, was to have guys that are a step above the average, like I said, not a sniper, just a step above the average soldier, the average militiaman or survivalist out there. That you can take a decent shooting rifle, not a match grade 308 with match grade ammunition and $2,000 scopes and all that stuff, but not the average open-sided SKS either. So my target range here for this training was 500 yards. And if you check the average guy out there, check your friends and just go out there to the woods, to the desert somewhere and just ask them, what do you think 500 yards is? Have them pick something out, mark it, and step it off or measure it or hit it with the rangefinder and see how far off you are. It's been my experience that in 500 yards, which is not long range by any means, that 500 yards, a lot of people will see that as, well, they'll see, you know, 250, 300 yards or so as 500 yards. So how do you sort that out if you don't have the latest, greatest laser rangefinder and all that stuff? You can be pretty good at guesstimating distances in certain environments. Try to guesstimate a distance across a canyon sometime, across a rock canyon. Well, it'd be a rock canyon, any damn canyon. Try that distance in town. Look down a city street and tell me what 500 yards is. It's one thing to do it out there on flat ground, the desert, the woods, or whatever, but you start getting obstacles and water and you know, other things involved here, then your distance estimation goes to hell pretty quickly for most people. So how do you figure that out? Well, there's an easy way to get pretty darn close, but it does require knowing something out there at that distance. Meaning you can't just look at a pine tree out there and use this technique and say, well, that's 500 yards. You need to have something that you know the size of, say, a deer. You know, the body cavity. I mean, the body depth from brisket to withers, top of shoulders, or a vehicle with a tire. You know, or look at the tire on there. You know about what that diameter is, something like that. So the most popular scopes out there, overwhelmingly, absolutely the most popular scope on the market is something that has what they call the duplex reticle in it, or as Tasco calls it, the 30-30 reticle. 30-30 doesn't have anything to do with the caliber with the gun 30-30, with the 30-30 Winchester. It's a different deal. And those are the scopes, and everybody's seen them. If you've ever looked through a rifle scope, chances are pretty good it was one of these reticles. Now, there's thin crosshairs, there's bold crosshairs, there's posts, there's mil dot crosshairs, all kinds of crosshairs out there. But there's not as many of them. You know, post used to be real popular back in the day, back in the 50s and 60s. I used to have, my mom's 257 Roberts had a post in it. For accuracy, not so great. For shooting a dinner plate sized target on a deer out there in dim light, it was awesome. You could throw that thing up there. It had a real heavy single post and a single thin crosshair across the top of it. And that post was the kind of the, in my mind, kind of the predecessor to these duplex crosshairs, because after that, you know, years after that, they came out with the duplex, with the 30-30. And that is the, you have four bold lines coming in from each side, top and bottom, towards the center. When they get close to the center, they're all four pointed a little bit, and then there's thin crosshairs in the center. Everybody's seen those, right? You know what I'm talking about. Well, those are pretty standard across the market. There may be some small variations, but it's still pretty easy to use. So let's just say here we're going to put this, well, the way it's designed, let's don't just say that because I want to, it's the way it's designed. Four power, turn it down or up, turn it to four power at 100 yards. The distance between those two bold lines is what they call that the apex, the end of the bold crosshairs. Apex to apex, bold line to bold line, point to point, is 30 inches at 100 yards set on 4 power. Okay, does that make sense to you? So using that formula at 8 power, point to point, something that's 30 inches in diameter, 30 inches tall, it would be 200 yards. We have that known, that we've established this. That's why I say a tire, your average pickup tire, is about 30 inches. My truck's 31. Amy's truck's, which other one did I measure here a while back? Anyway, whatever it was a 15-inch tire, was 28. So you can figure about 30 inches for the average vehicle out there. Not talking semis or anything like that. And the deer, average mule deer, probably 30 inches or a little better between withers and brisket. So here's your hillbilly rangefinder here. It works pretty good. It's pretty accurate as long as you know something out there that's about 30 inches. It can be anything, whatever. You can try the you can also use the point to crosshair. You have point to point, or you can use a point to the center of the crosshair. And that is at 4 power, point to crosshair is 200 yards on something that's 30 inches. So if you take the average man out there and go from crotch to throat, you're looking at about 30 inches. Take a man that's 5'10", 6 foot tall, and crotch to throat, he's about 30 inches. So if this is a battlefield scenario, You can throw that scope up, know what power it's on, using that same formula. If your scope is on 12 power, and then that point-to-point distance is 300 yards. Does that make sense to you? If you go back, you can easily figure this out by just remembering that on 4 power, the distance from point-to-point on there is 30 inches. 4 power at 100 yards is 30 inches. 8 power is going to be 200 yards. If you have that on 8 power and you put that that tire, that 30-inch, known 30-inch object in there, and it fills it up point to point, it's going to be 200 yards away. Okay? And the point to point, I mean point to crosshair at 4 power, I'm getting myself confused, at 4 power is 200 yards. So you can easily take that, take your gun, take it out there, park your car somewhere, don't leave the kids sitting in it, and walk out there a known 100 yards away, and look at the tire, if it, and see how that fills that point-to-point area. Yeah, I know, Peanut Rider, please don't confuse everybody with that. We're trying to keep, we know that the your sights on the, well, you can put it up there, I don't care. Anyway, the, move back up here and start over again. Point-to-point at 100 yards is 30 inches. Point-to-crosshair at 100 yards is, point-to-crosshair is 200 yards at 4 power. I'm not sure if I'm explaining that right. If you're looking at it, let's look at your tire on your truck on 4 power, and that tire fills half the distance up. If it goes from point to crosshair, it is 200 yards away. There you go, I got it. And if it fills up completely, point to point, then it's 100 yards. And you can take those measurements right there and use all your magnification on your scope and be able to figure that out. Let's take an odd one. Let's go to 9 power because there's lots of 3 to 9 scopes out there. If it fills that, if you got it on 9 power and it fills it up point to point, that's 225 yards. Point to crosshair, 450 yards. Okay, not too hard to figure out. I'm probably confusing you, but it's not too hard to figure out. Once you get that, 4 power measurement down, the rest of it's pretty easy. But it gives you an idea of how to use this most popular scope to, there's lots of better ones out there, obviously. When you start getting into the mil dot scopes, very accurate. I'm not even going to get into range estimation on that one. But they are very accurate, not hard to use once you learn the technique. It's just that you're not likely to pick up a mil dot scope out there somewhere, and chances are pretty good that your own rifles probably don't have mil dot scopes on. I've got two rifles with mil dots on them. But I just wanted to explain to you on these duplex reticles. And, well, Yakima Glock, thanks for showing up just in time to hear us close. Oh, glad you made it in, though. Anyway, I'll quit talking. I'm confusing myself. Anyway, you understand. It's easy to look it up and try to find a more better explanation than what I'm giving you. I know how to do it, but I just, and I do better when I've got a whiteboard up there to show it on. But I may have confused everybody to a point where your head's spinning now, but anyway. Okay, well, Yakima Glock got here just in time to see us off, so we'll see you guys Wednesday. And undoubtedly, I do have some more things I wanted to share here right away. So Wednesday's show is already in the making right now, and I know there's going to be other things to add between now and then. So anything big comes up, well, I'll sure let you know. All right, that being said, I think we'll get on out of here. We'll see you Wednesday. Thanks for joining me.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.